Right now, though, I'm very anxious to go to my present guest. It is Dr. John Gartner. Let me see. Oh, my goodness. I'm having trouble. There we go. As always, this call screening equipment. Dr. John Gartner is the founder of Duty to Warn. He is working with the Department of Psychiatry, Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. He's been there for 3 decades. Dr. Gartner, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you. Actually, I retired a couple of days ago, but a couple of years ago. But thank you for having me on again. I don't know if you remember, I was on this program years ago when my Clinton book came out.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I recognize the Clinton book, and I dug into it a little bit, and I admire your courage for doing that. I've always felt that clinicians should be able to take an analytical evaluation of public figures, at least to the extent that we have data available. Much the same way as if they held up a rash, I could say, well, I think I know what that rash is. I haven't examined it, but that looks like shingles or whatever. I mean, I can't tell you. Listen, in today's world, a lot of stuff goes on. People texting me pictures, people calling me, and we making diagnoses over the phone. It's the way it is now.
Sure.
So things like hypomania are pretty easy to spot, right? So let's start with hypomania and your analysis of Mr. Clinton, because I want to use that as the foundation to move forward into Mr. Trump. So go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I wrote an article about this in the New Republic where I compare Clinton to Trump. This was about a year and a half ago, actually.
Oh, so perfect.
So what I point out is that hypomania, for those of your viewers who don't know, hypo is Greek for less than. So it's less than full-blown mania, but all of the same traits to a more mild and more functional degree. So it's a temperament we see in a lot of the movers and shakers in the world. Most entrepreneurs have this temperament. Most kind of charismatic founders of new movements, often very sort of, high-energy academics and whatnot, have this temperament. It makes people very aggressive, very confident, very creative, very driven, very charismatic, but it also has a downside. It can make them irritable and arrogant and impulsive and irritable. What I sometimes like to say is that hypomania is kind of like a vector of force. If you remember your high school geometry, those arrows, you know, that the force was indicated by how long the arrow was, and then the direction was indicated by which direction the arrow was going in. And so a person's character, their personality, as well as a lot of other factors, you know, their culture and whatnot, can determine what direction that force gets directed towards. And so even though these two people both have this kind of high-octane personality, my concern with Donald Trump is that because at the level of his personality disorder, I don't know, you're probably old enough to remember those old, like, Superman cartoons, TV shows where they say at the end of the show, after they capture the villain, if only he'd used his powers for good instead of for evil.
Yeah. Well, let's step back even a little further and let's remind everybody, let's give some disclaimers here before we really get into this, which is neither of us have evaluated either of these people. We are just speaking sort of, it's almost a thought experiment of sorts. And we are using terminology that's old too, by the way, because the DSM-5 doesn't really, so we're talking about diagnostic constructs rather than formal diagnoses, right?
Well, I guess you could, I might quibble with some of those provisos, but I understand what you're saying.
Go ahead, quibble, because I'm used to using the old constructs, and I prefer to use them, but they are not the current constructs for rendering diagnoses.
Actually, though, I am using a very old construct, though, as my fundamental analysis, which is I said that Trump is a malignant narcissist, and that is not in the DSM.
Right.
It's actually a disorder that was developed and introduced by Eric Fromm, who himself escaped Hitler's Germany, and he was the founder of humanistic psychology, one of them. And he was obsessed with the psychology of evil, and he developed this diagnosis to explain Hitler. It's literally a diagnosis retrofitted to explain Hitler and other people like Hitler, other dictators like Stalin, etc. And it has 4 components, most of which actually you can relate pretty directly to the DSM. One is narcissism, so narcissistic personality disorder.
Okay, but
paranoia.
I'm going to sort of jab at you as we go here. Pardon me for interspersing this with context.
I just came off of Fox News. You can't interrupt me more than
that. Okay, good. But I hate interrupting, but I need to because I have a million questions and we have like 12 minutes. So narcissism, but if we were to limit our analysis of narcissists in the White House, excluding narcissists in the White House, I'd say we'd have zero presidents. Maybe George Washington.
You're absolutely right. No, you're absolutely right. And that's why I said there's four components.
Okay, keep going.
If we were only talking about narcissism, it wouldn't be disqualifying for just the reason you said that so many politicians are narcissistic.
Yeah.
The more disturbing aspects are the last three. Paranoia, or paranoid personality disorder. This is where you get into crazy conspiracy theories. I mean, Trump has endorsed dozens and dozens of bizarre conspiracy theories. And it also causes you to demonize minorities, anyone who doesn't agree with you, the press, you know, the enemy of the people, as he's called them. So that the paranoid component is extremely damaging, and it is also altering to the reality testing of the individual.
But
they cannot
distinguish
between reality and their paranoid ideas.